Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to cover some material that we've covered in the past, but it's come back up again. Because why? Well, for the last 6 months, I've been telling you that the market is in perfect condition for buying. I'm getting so busy with people running deals by me that it's almost like becoming a full-time job again, just because there's so many good deals out there. And so when that happens, you know, you have to be out there yourself looking and prepared. And so I've been out there looking and prepared. But at the same time, like I told you last week, every single month, I put together what I call the family office review, where I look at all my financial situation and figure out, okay, where's my money at? How effective is it? How profitable is it? So on and so forth. And does anything need to be moved around? And as you all know, since interest rates have come down, savings account returns have come down from 5.5, and my peak savings account returns have come down now to about 3.5. Maybe 3.34 is the average I'm getting on money like now. I keep an average of it, but I have so many different accounts. But what that did was put me mentally in a position that, hey, I've got to find something. That's all there is to it, because this is becoming too low in rate of return profitability for me to enjoy the lifestyle I live, want to live, to enjoy life the way I want to live it, or basically just to maintain my financial situation, because I live off my investments. So I'm looking and looking and looking. I'm always looking. But something came across my desk a couple weeks ago that looked like a motivated seller. Remember, we're not looking for real estate. There's real estate everywhere. A lot of people get in this, think that owning a piece of real estate is the secret. Although today I'm going to go over 6 ways that real estate makes you money. So in essence, if done correctly, real estate is very, very powerful. I will cover that. But before we even get to that, I want you to understand that we are not out there looking for pieces of real estate. We're out there looking for motivated sellers, someone who owns a piece of real estate that's willing to take less than what it's worth. That's what we're out there trying to buy. And if you do that, then you will end up finding number one of the 6 ways you make money with real estate. It's called equity capture. It's the most insane thing in the world. I found a guy that had a reason he needed to get rid of a piece of real estate. It was a brand new piece of real estate. He just built it 6 months, 8 months ago, and he built too many of them, too much real estate, and he had to get rid of some of it. And so he was willing to take a loss, and he lowered his price quite radically. By the lowering of the price, I realized the guy was motivated, so I contacted the broker, which I had done business with many times in the past, and I said, hey, here's an offer I'll make. If he'll take this number, I will buy this property. And the broker said, okay, let me go check. And he came back to me a couple of days later and says, I can deliver that property at that price. And that was it. So now it's all with my attorney, his attorney. They'll do a PSA, which is, for those of you who don't know what that means, it's a sales contract. And in the old days, we called them earnest money contracts. It's how we purchase the property. So our attorneys will find out all the details and make sure all the facts and stuff, the details are all right, all the paperwork, and get it to a title company, get title insurance and the whole bit, right? All that will go on. While I just sit back and start thinking about the newfound income I'm going to make. So let's just start with the beginning. Let's say you could go to your stockbroker tomorrow and say, look, I'd like to buy $100,000 worth of stock. Actually, let's talk about $1 million worth of stock. And in my case, it was $2 million worth of real estate. But let's say I want to buy $2 million worth of stock, and I want to pay $150,000 for it. So just to give you an idea, what would your stockbroker say? He said, there's no way. You can't buy $2 million worth of stock for $1,500,000. It just can't happen. And I'm telling you, that's what I just did. I just bought a $2 million piece of real estate that the guy dropped the price down to $1.8 million. And I saw that, and I came back and said, I'll give you $1.5 million. That type of negotiation is how it all worked out. And so I'm instantly capturing, we call this equity capture, I'm instantly capturing $500,000. So I've made my nut for the year of excitement. Just made 500 grand instantly. And I tell you this not to impress you, but to impress upon you, this is what I teach, this is what we do. Now, that's a large number. Don't know if you've got $2 million to invest, but let's say you have $200,000. Would you like to buy $150,000 worth of real estate for $200,000? $200,000 worth of real estate for $150,000. We do it all the time. It's something that's on a regular basis, something we've been doing for 35 years. Now, the numbers vary, you know. The actual numbers are all over the place because you have different markets, different places, different pieces of real estate, different ages, But the idea is we're buying it for less than what it would appraise for the day we buy it. That's the beautiful thing. Now, sometimes to do that, we have to buy a $200,000 piece of real estate for $100,000 and then do $50,000 worth of renovation because it's in terrible shape, and that's why we're able to steal it for half price. When we do that $50,000 renovation, now we have a $200,000 piece of real estate we paid $150,000 for. So we just made $50,000 on a single-family house. You can do it on a small house or on a house, and that's kind of more realistically the numbers you'd be looking at, something like that. So there you go. That's a pretty good start for the year. You get out there and do that. Now, what if you did that on single-family houses? You did five of them in a year. You made 50 grand a year. 50 grand a house, that's $500,000 a year. That'd be a pretty good year for most people, right? But that's only the beginning. That's only one of the six ways that real estate makes you money. And that's the beauty of this. So let's take the second way, which is the simplest to understand. And that is the money in my savings accounts are earning 3.3%. This money is going to earn 7.6%. So now I'm making 100% more interest. Now, let me just educate you here for a second. And that is, in your mind, I'm going from 3.3 to 7.6. I'm only going up 4.3%. But if you look at it this way, if you go from 3 to 6, that's 100% gain. 100% higher rate of return than what I was making at 3%. Quite simple. If you go from 1 to 2, that's 100% increase. But I'm going from 3 to 6, actually 3 to 7.5. So what you're seeing here is that it's 100% increase in my cash flow. Now just think about if you could take your entire portfolio and increase your rate of return by 100%. That'd be a pretty good move, right? Now, this isn't my whole portfolio. This is one transaction. But the money that came out of my savings accounts to buy this property is going to go from a 3-something percent, 3.32 or something percent rate of return, up to a 7.5, 7.6, whatever it is exactly, rate of return. Now you have to think about that. Wow, that's pretty impressive. No, that's really impressive. It's something you should be thinking about. If you're not looking at doing something like that with your financial situation, then you really just succumb to believing that what you have is what you have and what you'll always have and that you never really will be able to get rich and you never really will be able to retire because it just is what it is. But it's not. It is what you make it. You have to go out and find motivated sellers, buy the stuff, do whatever renovations you have to do, and then boom, you now have this way more valuable property and you have way more cash flow than you had. The money sitting in your savings accounts, the money sitting in your 401ks, you know, for one, the 401k has absolutely no cash flow. You have your paid in full house. It has absolutely no cash flow. On the other hand, if you go out here and buy a piece of real estate, make 7.5% cash flow. 7.5% cash flow is a lot better than nothing. There are six ways real estate makes you money, but they won't make you money if you do the deal wrong. If you overpay for a piece of real estate, it could wash out all the gain potential that you have from all six of the ways you make money from real estate. So it's very important you know how to appraise and buy real estate effectively and correctly. So having said that, let's move on to the third way that real estate makes you money, and that is depreciation or tax benefits. Unlike earned income, where you pay taxes on it, you're paying anywhere from 15 to 42% in income taxes. Then you've got state taxes that you're paying on top of that, plus Social Security and Medicare taxes. So if you, say, make $100,000 a year, and you're probably only taking home $60,000 of that, so to replace that $60,000 a year, all you have to do is make $60,000 a year worth of real estate rental income, and you can cover that. It's very easy. And, well, easy is probably not the right word for it, but it's much simpler to cover $60,000 than it is to cover $100,000. Because the net effect, the money you will actually receive and maintain in your pocket to use and to live off of, is about a 60% of the difference. Now, it all depends on your tax bracket, and there's variances, and there's a big variability between state to state if you have state income tax or not have state income tax. But you are going to pay 15.2% Social Security and Medicare tax. Either you pay half of it if you're an employee, and your boss pay half. If you own your own business, you're paying all of it, 15.2. And then you've got, you know, income taxes anywhere from, if you're poor, which is 15%, all the way up to, you know, where I'm in, 42% tax bracket. You know, it's quite a bit. So to be able to earn this thing through depreciation. Now, what is depreciation? Depreciation is a paper loss that the government allows you to take. It says you take the land value off of your real estate, you take what's left over, and you divide it up into the different component parts and figure out what they're worth and how long they will last. And then you divide up that number by how long those pieces will last, and then the amount that would wear off each year is called depreciation, and you would take that as a paper loss against your income. Now, if you're a real estate professional, then you can take it off against not only your passive income, your real estate income, but you can take it off against your earned income also. Now, to be a real estate professional, though, however, you're going to have to jump through some hoops, and we won't discuss that today. I'll discuss that another day, what real estate professional is. But just to start with, the income you make from your investment. So if you make money from the stock market, you have to pay taxes on it. If you make money from your, you know, in your 401k or your IRA and you take it out, you're going to pay taxes on it. In fact, you're even going to pay income and Social Security taxes on your 401k. You just don't realize you're paying it up front before you put it in. So the tax situation is a massive difference, and how it allows you to live at a much higher level of expectancy because you're not paying those taxes. And that money all goes right back into investing again. So if you save 40%, that means you have 40% more to invest in the next deal, and on and on and on. There's also something called 1031 tax-free exchange. So if you sell your property where you would normally have to recapture that depreciation, you can move that depreciation load over to the next property. How long can you do that? You can continue to do that for the rest of your life until you die if you want to. There's an old adage about depreciation. The secret is 3 D's, defer, and die. When you're gone, all the depreciation goes away. So in other words, you've been taking these paper losses. You really should have to recapture them at some point, but if you die, they all just go away. And your family is going to receive the real estate in a stepped-up basis with no depreciation tagged to it at all. No taxes, unpaid taxes tagged to it at all. That's a wonderful thing, man. So depreciation is a beautiful part of what we do. The next one is equity gain. And I guess I called this earlier. I'm trying to think. Outright calculation is the difference between the property's market value and your outstanding mortgage. Okay. They're talking about mortgage reduction. Here's what they're talking about. So let's talk about mortgage reduction. You go put your money in a 401k, and one of the things that attracts you is that your boss is matching what you put in, right? The difference is with a rental property, if done correctly, you're not putting any money in each month. 30 years from now in your 401k, you hope it's worth a lot more, right? And 30 years from now, you say your boss contributed some portion thereof, you know, for 30 years. But with a 30-year mortgage and a rental house, you're not contributing every month. Your tenant is paying your mortgage for you. So the mortgage reduction means at the end of 30 years, that $200,000 house is yours free and clear. Even though you only maybe put $10,000 down, that's it. So your contribution compared to a 401k, everything's in your 401k is what you contributed and or plus what your boss contributed with you, which is a smaller portion than what you contribute. They don't contribute 100%. But in the real estate, we contribute a down payment. And then after that, the tenant pays the whole mortgage off for us. We don't contribute anymore. Not to mention that not only do we not contribute each month like we contribute to the 401k, they pay us cash flow. So we make positive cash flow on that. Now think about that. Wouldn't your 401k be a lot neater if you didn't have to pay into it, your boss paid into it, only you didn't, and it paid you cash flow every month? Think about it. Just think logically. Stop for a second. I know you're driving. Stop thinking and think of this. How would the 401k sound if your boss contributed to it for 30 years and you didn't, and it paid you cash flow every month? That's so unbelievably different. I don't know how you can't see that. It's unbelievably different. So this equity capture, this equity gap, so equity gain by mortgage reduction is a gigantic piece. Now, one little house and the small amount of equity you pay off each month is a small number. You get up to large numbers of buildings and real estate and apartments, and that equity reduction each month is a very large number. And so your net worth is growing every single month, not because you're contributing to your net worth, but because your tenants are contributing to your net worth. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Real estate investing doesn't have to be confusing. Lifestyles Unlimited teaches you how to build income with a clear plan and real-world strategy. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing the six ways that real estate can make you money if you do it correctly. And I'm also stating that you need to be watching your family's investments every single month, your family office, as we call it. Been coined that term, family office. You're looking at your family business, your assets, liabilities, income, expenses, tracking them and following them, and then making adjustments. And the adjustments are made when you can find a motivated seller that's willing to let a piece of real estate go for less than what it's worth so you can make some instant captured equity to where your cash flow that you're getting from the investment is more than the cash flow you're getting from the savings account that you're taking the money out of to do the deal with, and where you have a mortgage. Because the next most important thing is leverage. Leverage is the next reason that real estate is so functional. What do I mean by this? Well, let's say, for instance, that we go out here and we buy that house for $200,000. It's worth $200,000. We pay $100,000 for it. We put $50,000 in it. And we then go to a hard money lender, and the hard money lender says, we'll lend you 75% of the after repaired value, which is $200,000. Well, 75%, that's the $150,000, the $100,000 to buy it, the $50,000 that we own it for. And so all we may have is like $10,000 in closing costs. Now, if we make $50,000, but we only have $10,000 invested, what is that? Well, $10,000 gain would be 100%. $20,000 would be 200%. So 50,000 on 10,000 is a 500% rate of return. It's mind-boggling when you really start looking at the numbers. Another way it works is, let's talk about long-term appreciation. Let's talk about cash flow. If you've got $500 a month positive cash flow, that's $6,000 a year. And if we had a whole $150,000 of our own money in there, divided by $150,000, that would be a 4% cash-on-cash return. That's better than our savings account, which was 3.32, right? But if we only put 10% down of that money, so now we make $500 a month times 12, which is $6,000 a year, divided by only $10,000 down, we now make a 60% rate of return on cash flow. So you see, leverage is something that makes real estate way more profitable, rate of return-wise, than other businesses. And it's the ability to say, well, I can go borrow for other businesses. No, you can't. It's really hard to go out and get a loan to start up some business where there are no assets because you're borrowing the money, right? And you have no collateral, so you have to sign personally and this and that and a whole bit. Well, we can go out there and we can borrow based on the real estate. The real estate is the collateral for doing the deal. And so leverage is a tool that is most powerful when used in real estate investing. That's why we use it. Use tons of leverage. In fact, I think if you do real estate and you don't use leverage, you're losing about 50% of the viability, maybe more, because leverage allows you to raise the rate of return on every transaction you do by a massive amount. So leverage is a very powerful thing. Now, can you have too much leverage? No, you can't have too much leverage. What you can have is too high a price. So if you pay too much for something, and then you go put leverage on it, now that debt is too high. On the contrary, if you pay half of what something's worth and then only put a loan on there of 80, 90%, even if you put 100% loan, you only have 50% leverage. It's all about the price. It's not about the leverage. And people don't understand that. They blame the leverage for taking people down. The reality is, in every situation I've seen, it's not the leverage that took them down. It was the price they paid for the property. Now, let's caveat that. There are things called adjustable rate mortgages. And if you buy your property when the interest rates are very, very low and you put an adjustable rate mortgage on and interest rates pop up like they did a year ago, then the interest rate could literally kill you. In other words, the leverage you had originally wasn't that bad, but the bottom line is now the interest rate has caught you and the leverage did kill you. Here's the caveat to that. The problem people had when they were buying these properties with 2 and 3% interest was that they were paying way too much for them. The ability to get that kind of leverage, that kind of interest rate, allows you to buy stuff and pay way too much for it. And most people did. They paid way too much. And as soon as those interest rates went away, man, those mortgage payments could not be made. They didn't buy the property right. So what you'll see is there's 90% of the people out there that didn't lose their real estate during the interest rate change when interest rates went up. And 10% of the people out there did because they did the wrong thing. There's always going to be people out there that do real estate incorrectly. And there's always going to be people out there that do it correctly. The ones that do it correctly don't run into the same level of problems. Now, are there problems? Yeah, just all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, I had a guy the other day call me up and say he's having a hard time because ICE had run off 20% of his tenants. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I said, so do you screen your tenants? And the guy's like, and this is the community that we live in, and this is where our property is, and this is the people that are there, and this is our clientele. And I go, well, I think you're going to have to learn how to live with Americans and not illegal aliens. So if you fill your place up with illegal aliens, and all of a sudden, politically, it becomes unpopular to have criminals in your apartment complex. And by the way, illegal aliens are criminals. They've broken the law. They're here illegally. I don't know what you can't understand about English. That's an illegal alien, right? So if you do that, you can't blame that on real estate. You got to blame that on you, you know, because we all have real estate here in Houston, all kinds of Hispanics everywhere, but very few of them are illegal. Now, when you say very few, percentage-wise, right? Yeah, there's illegal aliens here. And the problem is when they get housed with legal aliens. So you come in and you take the worker out of, you know, you've got a bunch of legal aliens and you've got them sharing domiciles with illegal aliens and they come and take the people out. And now all of a sudden, some of the income goes away and or the fear that people just leave. They leave because, man, I don't want to stay around here because they're going to grab us too. And so they take off. That's an example of a problem you can have even if you pay the right price for a piece of real estate. How do you overcome that? Well, very simply, we start leasing to Americans and we stop leasing to illegal aliens. And that's what this guy has to do. He has to live through that pain of changing over to going back to real Americans. So what is the problem with that? Well, the problem is you can get illegal aliens to pay you anything you want. They're willing to pay anything because they just want a place to live and they can't be picky. They have to take what they have to take, which is really sad. I mean, that now you're taking advantage of people because you're illegal aliens. But the bottom line is that once you get rid of that, now you have Americans can actually choose. So if you have a really crummy property and you're charging too much, your prices are going to have to come down, right? Whereas that clientele would be happy to live there because no matter how crummy your property is, it's better than where they came from, I guarantee you. So that's the challenge you have. And that is not a challenge of real estate. That is a challenge of operations and personal skill sets, political position, et cetera, et cetera. All right. What I want to know is when you get up every day and you go to work and you grind the grind, you push the rock, get and push the rock every day up the hill, up the hill, up the hill, get in your little rat race cage and get on that little squirrel wheel and squirrel around, round, 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 get in your car and drive an hour to work and, you know, grind out for 8 hours and then get in the car and drive an hour back and grind out. You know, it just, when does it finally hit you? How long does it take? I hear people that say they've listened to me for 5 years. I mean, literally 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And then they finally go, wow. Now, I know the way it really works is that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I know that there are 80,000 pieces of information out there about how to lose weight, and I don't look at any of them until the day I want to lose weight. And then I start concentrating, pay attention, listen to all the different ideas, and working my way around things, find the people that actually know what they're doing. It's funny is that as I do that, and my daughter's a professional bodybuilder, her man or significant other is a professional bodybuilder, I go through and I listen and watch, and you figure out pretty quickly who actually knows what they're talking about, who's been around long enough, who actually has credentials, who has actually won things, done things. And it's pretty easy to figure out who knows what they're talking about, who doesn't, over a period of time. I can't think of how many beginners, though, just go listen to some idiot. I go to the gym every day and I see people that have no idea what they're doing. They're just ridiculous in the kind of workout they do. And I see, like, young ladies who work out as hard as they possibly can, do all the exercises, pretty good form, and yet they're still 50 pounds overweight. For some reason, no one will explain to them, if you just drop your calories by 500 calories a day, you'll lose weight. They just can't seem to figure that one out, or they don't want to figure that one out, or whatever. But they've got coaches. They've got online coaches or personal coaches because they're doing these exercises like a pro. Just not doing them any good. Same thing with real estate. I see people doing real estate and they're doing it and doing it and doing it, but it's not making them any money. They're not getting any richer. It's just like guys come to the gym. I see guys working out in the gym every single day, week after week after week, year after year, and they look exactly the same. They haven't changed a bit. And some of them just come in to waste time and talk and, you know, whatever. Others, though, are actually working out. It just, they're not doing it right. They don't know what they're doing. And they get all kinds of deranged, awkward-looking physiques that they have no idea that they have. They don't even realize that they're doing it wrong. And I see the same thing when I deal with people in real estate investing. People come to me and they've been doing stuff. They've tried it themselves. You know, you listen to me on the radio and you go, you know, and I'll just go take a shot at that. I think I can figure that out. Everybody thinks that they can figure things out. I'm going to share something about real estate with you. Real estate is counterintuitive. That means almost everything you think should happen happens exactly opposite of, or should happen exactly opposite of how you would actually handle it yourself. If I were to put out a questionnaire, multiple choice questionnaire, 90% of the people that have not taken my class took that questionnaire, you'd get the answers wrong. You'd fail the test. Because you think you should do X when really you should do Y. You think the world works like Z, but it really works like A. It's just bizarre. So I think I'm not doing you justice if I don't get you in here. I've been doing this for years. As people ask, why do you keep doing this? I go, because I like helping people. And I hate to see people not be successful. Every time I go to the restaurant, I sit at the bar because I like to talk to people. My wife and I sit up there. And you just talk to people and you hear their struggles. And you think to yourself, man, if I could just help this person. Now, I don't in public come out and tell you who I am, and I don't tell you what I do, and I don't tell you how to change your life. But I am there learning and understanding. And every once in a while, the conversation will drift over to, you know, what are you doing? And I say, well, I'm retired since I was 35. And then all of a sudden, whoa, why is that? And that's why, you know, invest in real estate. And, oh, yeah, I thought about real estate. I'm going to think about doing real estate. I might have done. I did a little real estate, did it wrong, blah, 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 blah. It's all, yeah. They never get there. One of the sad ones is that I run into people all the time telling me that their kids are going through college and they're stacking up debt, sending their kids through college. And they know as well as I know, as well as you know, is that a very high percentage of kids coming out of college can't even get a job nowadays. The stuff they're training for doesn't even exist, and it's going away faster and faster and faster. College has become a social event. It's become a political indoctrination event. But it's no longer prepping you for a successful financial lifestyle, quality of life. Only those people which actually become attorneys or doctors or something that's so high-end. But even like engineers, AI is taking over that field. It just goes on and on. Art will be gone. There'll be no artist. You know, I don't know what you think's going to happen, but AI can duplicate anything a human brain can create. Once it figures out what the human brain is doing to create, to be creative, and that is only right around the corner, there'll be no art. There'll be no music. It will all be AI. I see stuff all the time. I look in YouTube, and I'm saying, man, that is incredible. Then I realize that's not real. That's AI. That's AI generated. Anything can be AI generated. So how do you ever maintain wealth when they can take away your job, they can take away your human skill set and make it not needed anymore? Well, the one thing they haven't figured out how to do is to sleep in the air. They still need a place to live. And that, my friends, is why I'm still in real estate. Remember always, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.